A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. In those days, the princes said to the king, "Jeremiah ought to be put to death. He is demoralizing the soldiers who are left in this city and all the people by speaking such things to them. He is not interested in the welfare of our people, but in their ruin." King Zedekiah answered, "He is in your power, for the king could do nothing with them." And so they took Jeremiah and threw him into the cistern of Prince Malachiah, which was in the quarters of the guard, letting him down with ropes. There was no water in the cistern, only mud, and Jeremiah sank into the mud. Ebed-Melech, a court official, went there from the palace and said to him, "My lord king, these men have been at fault in all they have done to the prophet Jeremiah, casting him into the cistern. He will die of famine on the spot, for there is no food in the city." Then the king ordered Ebed-Melech, the Cushite, to take three men along with him and draw the prophet Jeremiah out of the cistern before he should die. The word of the Lord.
Lord, come to my aid. Lord, come to my aid. I waited for the Lord, and he stooped down to me. He heard my cry. Lord, come to my aid. He drew me from the deadly pit, from the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock, made my footsteps firm. Lord, come to my aid. He put a new song into my mouth, praise of our God. Many shall see and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Lord, come to my aid. Wretched and poor though I am, the Lord is mindful of me. You are my rescuer, my help. O my God, do not delay. Lord, come to my aid.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us rid ourselves of every burden and sin that clings to us, and persevere in running the race that lies before us, while keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the leader and perfecter of faith. For the sake of the joy that lay before him, He endured the cross, despising its shame, and has taken his seat at the right of the throne of God. Consider how he endured such opposition from sinners in order that you may not grow weary and lose heart in your struggle against sin. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia. 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 My sheep hear my voice, says the Lord. I know them, and they follow me. Alleluia.
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 The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. Do you think I have come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, rather, division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two, two against three. A father will be divided against his son, a son against his father, a mother against her daughter, a daughter against her mother, a mother-in-law against her father, a daughter-in-law, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. The Gospel of the Lord. A short homily today. They didn't even have one at St. John's this morning. A lady fainted even before I started talking, so I says, you will not hurt my feelings when you leave church today and you tell me, Father, that was the best homily you ever gave. But today, what do we learn from our gospel today? By baptism, we are all prophets sharing in Jesus' love. We have to speak out. Our nation is on the path of destruction, the father said to his family. But his wife and his children would have none of it. He's delusional, they said. Doesn't he see that this is a great gift to our country? We've been beaten down for over a decade by the victors of the last war. It's time that we rise from the ashes, the son said. No, the father said, can't you see that this is all wrong? It will only lead to devastation and death. His family wouldn't listen. As the next few years went by, the animosities grew, and the family became even more divided. Meanwhile, the country seemed to prosper. Employment was on the rise. Prosperity was coming back. The father continued his warnings, but they fell on deaf ears. At this point, he was not only speaking to his family, but to his neighbors and to his friends. All shunned him. He was ostracized and alone. When the knock came at the door, it was the Gestapo. He was arrested, tortured, and permanently silenced. Years later, after the war, the family and the neighbors realized that the man was right. How could we have been so blind? What should we do now? They said to one another. The mother, who was still living, spoke. We should remember his words and learn from them. We can never let this happen again. We learn from Jeremiah, who's one of the youngest prophets. That's what we always learn about Jeremiah, is his youth. But the Lord gave him the strength to speak. And what happened? Prophets, what happens to prophets? They're usually killed, or they're usually tortured, or they usually, if you're speaking out against someone, if you speak out against the government, what happens? You disappear. In some places in the world, that still happens. Though names and places and particular circumstances may change, situations like that we just heard still is happening to this very day. And when one speaks out against the popular, unrecognized evils of the day, that father had a prophetic voice. He could read the devastating signs of the times. He called his people to faithfulness and confidence in God. He called for reform, change, change for the good. But his ideas for reform and change and faithfulness were met with rejection. The same with a Lutheran pastor of that era, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. So our gospel today is the cost of discipleship, which is the name of Reverend Bonhoeffer's, one of his books, The Cost of Discipleship. I got a book in the mail today. I haven't talked about him for a while, but I'm going to talk just a little bit, make mention of him today, because we're having all this historical summits going on now with our president and that snake from Russia. And I don't want to say the word snake because it insults the reptiles, you know. So, yes, yeah. It's not good. I would not want to walk in that individual's shoes with all the cost of life that that man has caused, not only in Ukraine, but in Russia and with his own people. We have ceased to see the purpose. It comes from a speech from Alexander Solzhenitsyn. It's one of my favorites that I still like to quote. We have ceased to see the purpose. The totalitarianism from which Solzhenitsyn had escaped loomed as the West's likely future. He thought that it was his duty to warn us. But like Jeremiah, like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, like the father in the story today, nobody wants to listen. Today, his warnings seem to be even more realistic. Who is Alexander Solzhenitsyn? Some of the older parishioners would remember him. But hopefully, there will be a whole new generation, I hope and pray, high school and college. If you don't have time to read his speeches, this is his essential speeches. Just go in on the internet, write his name, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, Harvard speech. when he spoke to the people of Harvard saying that God is not dead. We have today, you can still see it, you can still search. A lot of our young people are searching. They're trying to find, and I try as a priest my best to help them, to show them the way. You know, and right here is a good way. Here's a good history lesson that you're never going to learn in school. Read his writings. There's another great book. It's a nice book. It's called A Solzhenitsyn Reader. He lived in Soviet times. He lived in the times when of Stalin and then afterwards, and he was in the gulags. And he wrote about his imprisonment. He wrote about the Soviet system. He wrote about how communism doesn't work, despite what some of these revisionist idiots want to do today and say that communism is okay and it's good. Well, it isn't. And young people, They're saying they're tired of this, and they're trying to search for God. And it's up to you and I to show them, to help them to find their way and not to be afraid. I heard that even Ozzy Osbourne, in these last couple of years, you know, the rock, heavy metal rock singer, and he did, you know, a lot of things that demonic and things. A lot of it probably was for show. But as he got sick, and as he was getting sicker and sicker, that he was reading the Bible, I heard. Reading the Bible, trying to find answers that he didn't have answers for. Jesus, in his prophetic role, encourages all of us today not to lose heart in the face of difficulties, challenges, even rejection and isolation. I'm reading a new biography on Padre Pio. It's an excellent biography on how Padre Pio was even isolated from his own church. You ever feel alone in the church? You ever feel that if you're it's like the saying, you're preaching to the choir and no one is listening, no one hears? That's how Padre Pio felt. Perhaps, and I will end here, we have to look that Jesus is faithful. His mission is given to him by the Father. And by our baptism too, like Jesus is baptized, we also have a mission. It might not be like Dietrich Bonhoeffer that we have to give our life. But Bonhoeffer was Austrian. And he dared to go against the grain. And it was like that Nazi revenge. The war was almost over. They had lost everything. But why did they have to kill? He was beheaded. Bonhoeffer was beheaded right at the end of the war. I mean, it's just like the total, total evil of what fascism and Nazism and all that stuff was about. We can still learn from Solzhenitsyn. He was one of the giants of the 20th century world literature. I can read him all day. And he helps us understand the line that separates good and evil in every human heart. I'll end with this, Life and Communion, another great priest of our time, maybe not so much a prophet, but again, a wonderful writer, Father Henry Nouwen. And this is what he writes about life in general. Life, as many of us know, can actually become more difficult, more painful, when we choose to follow Jesus. Just think about that line for a minute. More difficult, more painful when we choose to follow Jesus. Yet, at the same time, we gain a certain strength because we no longer live our life and our agony alone. We no longer live our struggle in isolation. We no longer live our pains as if nobody cares. Indeed, following Jesus means walking in his path, taking steps behind the one who shows us the way in our dark, broken, and painful world. But following Jesus means to live our life in companionship with the one who understands us fully. So our gospel today, following Jesus in baptism, sometimes in pain, sometimes with that fire of the Holy Spirit that we will be burned, but burned maybe in a good way. Following Jesus means a life in communion with a guide.